The song is a banger every time. Today it just feels like it's not so much a song as an anthem. You know what I mean? Today it doesn't feel like it's a song so much as it feels like it's a I don't know, a battle cry, a war cry. It feels like there's a vibe to this one today that hits a little stronger than it does most. Thank God it's Fridays. Yeah. I'm gonna keep it a buck with the people today. I'm gonna need a little pick me up from y'all, okay? I got my butt kicked this morning. Nothing bad. Just having one of those days where nothing's engaging. You know what I mean? You ever had that day? Like, nothing's engaging. I'm just floating through.
Yeah, all my timing was off a little bit. You know, I started my tater tots a couple minutes later, everything like that, and it threw me off a little bit, but then I got back on track.
Yeah. So we're both having the same day. Not ideal. Not ideal. It happens. It's not ideal.
Yeah, but if you look over there, there's Saturday over there. So, I mean, you know, might as well be happy and have a good day.
I mean, listen, it's not that your boy's in a bad mood. It's not that I came in here like angry, kicking stuff, whatever. That's fine, because then there's like, it's pointed in one direction. Today, it's more of like, it's that kind of, like that day where you're kind of stuck in a haze out of the gate.
I think it's more about the fact that basketball's over and all we have is baseball. I know that's great for you, but it's not great for everybody. So I think that's also part of it. The NBA draft is over now.
The NBA draft is over now.
It was so exciting, I'm sure.
I mean, it was for me. I enjoyed it. I talked a lot of basketball. And we'll talk some more basketball today. There were a couple of picks last night that are relevant to those of you that follow a certain number of NBA teams. And we've got to get into those. There were a handful of players last night that I'm intrigued by as NFL prospects, possibilities, and we'll talk about that. There's some stuff to get to out of round two of the NBA draft, but obviously round two of the NBA draft is going to have a lot more players in it that last night was the last time you'll ever hear their name.
So what's your theory on the meteor?
That
you don't know that a meteor hit?
No. I saw it. I saw it. The wife came home from work yesterday, and she was in a bit of a tizzy about it. She came home and she was like, "I assume it's just a meteor." Scratch that. Let me be clear about that. It wasn't that there was a meteor. It was that there was a meteor, and there were people online that was like, there's fireballs descending from the sky across the upstate. And she was driving home right after it happened. She was working from home yesterday. She had a doctor's appointment in the morning.
Goodness gracious.
And by the time that I got home, by the time that she got home, she had not really heard anything. She got out of the doctor's office and into the car around the time that it happened. And she checked her social media while she was like wrapping up at the doctor's office. And she saw a couple of people from the area that were posting that there were fireballs, plural, descending from the skies across the upstate of South Carolina. So she kicks open the door.
Yeah, according to Fox Carolina, a fireball in the sky may have crashed through home, officials say.
Yeah, well, the point isn't that happened, because that is, yes, real bad day to be that guy's house or that lady's house, whatever it is.
Or that family's house.
Or that family's house. Real bad day for that. But I also want to...
If it was a meteor.
That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
There's no reason to believe anything.
You saw it with your own eyes, so that's how you know.
I mean, I saw the video of it from 100 angles.
There's no chance that it was a shot down rocket. There's no chance that it possibly was a crashing alien craft.
There is no reason to believe that it was any of those things.
There's no reason not to believe that.
No, there is a million reasons not to believe that. There's a million reasons.
Your reality and my reality sometimes cross, but not in this.
No. Again, there's a million reasons to believe it was a meteorite. Like, for instance, the fact that that has not only happened here, it happened here less than 10 years ago. Don't worry. I sat around and did the research yesterday because I'm a big goob. Okay?
This is the real reason why he's having a bad day, because he spent a lot of science time yesterday.
I did spend a bit of science time yesterday. Primarily to begin, because there were two different descriptions from people who were, you know, obviously picked up and interviewed by the news that were describing the color of the streak in the sky. There you go. That dude. There were people describing the color.
That was about a year ago, wasn't it?
It was about a year ago. Yeah. So again, as far as I am aware of, we have had not terribly far from here, but not super close either. We have had a accidental nuclear bomb that was dropped in the area. Fortunately, it didn't explode, but the Air Force did accidentally drop a nuclear bomb from a plane over South Carolina, like, 70, 80 years ago.
I think as someone who drops things daily, multiple times, talking about you can't be overly critical about accidentally dropping something.
Yeah, but I know there's a slight difference between my tablet stylus and a bleeping nuke, but what do I know? Anyway, yes, there was a meteor that came crashing down across the skies of the upstate. Not ridiculously uncommon. Not like so far out of the realm of reasonable.
Listen, I'm not trying to cause panic, but a lot of those movies like Armageddon and movies like that, it starts with just, you know, oh, it was just a meteor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look up in the sky and the moon is about to crash into the earth.
And those movies are of what genre?
Nonfiction documentaries.
Delightfully incorrect.
Where, you know, Bruce Willis still exists, but he's probably going to have a hard time not being mean, saving the earth, so we're going to need to find somebody else.
Keanu Reeves is available. I think that my issue here, just so I'm clear, my issue here is not that we can have some fun with that story that incident.
Sounds like you're part of the cover-up. I'm just saying.
My issue here is that while Lonzo can say things like this and chuckle under his breath because he knows that, even though that I know he is trolling, it still bothers me. The wife, I told you the other day, is big into NASA documentaries right now. And so we were sitting there watching these the last couple of days. And she looks at me last night and she goes, I think maybe the moon landings were fake. And it sent me into a white hot rage. And I went off and I'm like, absolutely not. You're better than that. This is a divorce worthy caliber conversation to me.
Come on.
And then as soon as I was like wrapping up my rave, she just kind of like did the little like curl of the lip smile. And I was like, you're a bad person. And I went in the back room. Okay. Here's the issue. The issue is that we can like talk and joke and have us a good time and all that. And that's all well and good. The problem is that you open the door for people to start going down that path.
That door hasn't already been opened. Come on.
Right, but you make it open wider. So when the wife gets home yesterday from her doctor's appointment and all she knows is that people online have said there are multiple fireballs descending. And even if that is the case, that's still not outlandish because we are in the midst, tonight's the peak, of the second biggest meteor shower that we will experience this year. So even if there were multiple, two, three, that's still not a crazy reality.
Something said something? Or
No, it's not the Perseids. I forgot the name of them. I had them on the tip of my tongue because, again, I read about those last night, too. When you start entertaining, oh, it's a secret government cover-up of missiles from Iran, like, The problem you bump into there is that people then take that and they run with it, and it opens the door for stupid people to have more power over your life. And you don't
Way to turn it to politics.
It's not politics.
Way to go. That's
not
exactly politics. What you did.
If there are people out there who looked yesterday.
Fun with and you, yeah, okay.
That's literally what I just said. We can have fun with the story.
Can we?
But when you start giving credibility, and more importantly,
we were having fun.
When people go online and they start having the conversation about there's multiple fireballs and they're changing, because somebody said, oh, they're changing direction. No, they're not. They're lines. You can see them. They're on video. We have video cameras friggin' everywhere now.
You are the science equivalent of stick in the mud. I want you to know that.
No, I'm not. I'm very far.
You are. I mean, when it comes to this stuff, you take it way too serious. You know, people try to joke just a little bit, and you get all teachery.
Accurate.
As if you're qualified. I mean, come on.
I do not think.
Stop it, Siri. I never said Siri once.
I do not think you need to be qualified in order to say there's a 99.9% chance that was just a meteor. That's what they do.
So
we see them all the time.
There's a chance that it wasn't one.
I say that there's a chance for anything. The likelihood, the probability is so infinitesimally low that there's no need to entertain it. How is it that when you see something like this, a rock from space that is likely billions of years old has been flying through the cold, icy vacuum of space for perhaps longer than Earth has existed, ends up streaking through the sky, not just streaking through the sky, but streaking through the sky on this big-ass planet we live on, it just happens to enter the atmosphere in our neck of the woods. That, to me...
Here's what I think.
That, to me, is fascinating enough that you shouldn't need to make up fantastic stories. That, to me, is such a statistical wonder and marvel that you should be able to look at that and go, that's bleeping cool, man.
Here's what I think. I think Iran has a giant steam-shaped... steam-powered trebuchet, and we are under siege.
See, at least that's funny. At least that's funny. Some people were going, rocket! It's a rocket!
Okay.
That's not funny!
When things like that happen, that's, of course, in the realm of possibility for me. And it doesn't necessarily have to be from that place. It could be from Cuba. I don't know. But that's the first thought. And my other thought
is... That's your first thought? Your first thought isn't, maybe it's a meteor.
Oh, no.
Because that's what meteors do.
All right. I stand corrected. My second thought is, if it's not a meteor, it could be this. And if it's not that, it could be that. I go through all the possibilities. You do the same thing with other stuff. I just do that. And then I also think, if it was like something shot down, that the government immediately would cover it up and go, it's just a meteor. Which, it looks like it was just a meteor, but those are where my thoughts go. I'm not the only one who does that, and you do it in different ways with different things. So don't criticize me thinking, okay, if it's not that, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this.
No, I'm, again, absolutely going to. Because when's the last rocket attack that we have suffered around here?
Well, you would know they'd cover it up.
If you use they cover it up, and I'm not saying they don't cover anything up, they obviously do. But if you run straight to giving, if your theory requires an immediate out to explain why there is zero evidence for your theory, it's a bad theory. That's how it works. If the first thing you have to do is
come up. All theories are bad until
up,
they're proven fact.
Right.
I mean,
but
so
if the first thing you have to do is give yourself a reason why it can't be proven true, then it's a bad theory. You should really evaluate how you arrived at that spot.
No, I shouldn't.
Because
I have a great imagination. Probably it would engulf you and everyone in this building if it was absolutely released. And so I think of many different possibilities. That's what I mean. It's the creative process for me. It doesn't mean that I believe in my soul that was a rocket. I do believe that it was a possibility. I don't immediately discount it. Unless I saw it with my own eyes, I don't immediately discount it. I'm not being overly serious and not even serious when I think that. It's one of those things. I think this could be this, 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 and this. And if it turned out to be that, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but then again, You give credence to people who do.
Not everyone honestly, has a platform where they can talk about it on the radio.
Right. We have a higher level of responsibility. I'm glad you acknowledge that. I'm glad you're with me.
Yeah, and I'm here for accuracy and facts and all those things. No, I'm just here to have fun, man. It's Friday. And that could have been the first salvo of an alien being who has weak weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Has weak
mm-hmm.
weapons.
That one guy's house.
They think a lot of themselves. Like, we're going to take this place over. Watch, and you know they just barely did some damage on one
Hear
guy's
me
house.
Bleezelborp, in step one of the invasion of Earth, what if we punch a hole in that one guy's roof in Pickens County, South Carolina?
There's always that cocky guy. Or thing, whatever. I don't know how they describe themselves, but
his name is Jim Bob. We believe him to be the leader. Oh, God. All right.
Everyone thinks that alien races will come here and be more intelligent than we are. There's probably some doofuses out there, too.
I mean, if they pulled off
and they just shot that dude's house.
If they pull off interstellar travel, yeah, they got us beat. All right.
Didn't you see Independence Day? They stole that technology. That wasn't theirs. The aliens stole that technology.
We have some sports to do here on the Stick in the Mud Sports Show, ladies and gentlemen. We have got, you know what, I was yesterday, we told you about the story about the collusion case that was arbitrated back in January. An arbiter decided that the NFL did indeed have a conversation that had they acted upon it, would have been collusion, but they didn't actually act on it. I have a couple of problems with this. The more that I thought about it yesterday, before aliens started taking pot shots at Jim Bob's house, before they started firing off small rocks at us as the opening salvo of Independence Day 2. By the way, Will Smith's back. We got him still in the fold.
Independence Day 2 already happened.
Oh, damn, that's right. Yeah, it did. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It would have to be a big rock at first because, you know, things burn up in the atmosphere.
Started chucking moderate-sized stones at us. I thought a lot about this this story yesterday, and I think that there's some conversation that needs to be had about the future. We'll do that coming up. We've got a lot of basketball with the NBA draft. And today, why not, as it is week one and officially now official peak season radio, let's rank something. What are you guys going to rank? We should rank the top 10 college football things to rank.
These are really short songs. That's all I'm saying.
The Rob Brown Show's live on the Fan Upstate. It is Friday. Got to get down on Friday. The Rob Brown Show is live here on the Fan Upstate. Yesterday, we told you about, the day before, we learned from, of all places, and what a run of like 3 months this dude's having, the Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast. Pablo dropped the docs of a decision that got made by an arbiter back in January on a case of collusion brought up by the NFL Players Association about the NFL owners. The case effectively accused the National Football League's owners of colluding to try to restrict, limit the amount of guaranteed money that they were paying to players, and they brought receipts. They brought documents. They brought text messages. They brought slides of what I assume must have been a hell of a PowerPoint presentation. They brought a lot to the table to prove that the NFL owners were working together in order to try to curb the amount of guaranteed money that they were all paying out. And the basis of that was a number of conversations that took place after the Cleveland Browns signed Deshaun Watson to a $250 million contract, all of it guaranteed. there was a group of text messages that included messages from some owners to the owners of the Arizona Cardinals congratulating them on the re-signing of Kyler Murray and specifically pointed out how super smart that they were for keeping the guaranteed money down in that compared to what other quarterbacks were getting. On the flip side, we had some other spots yesterday where representatives of the NFL Players Association were talking about the fact that fighting for guaranteed money has been a massive priority of theirs over the years, effectively leaning on the it's a violent sport. It is a sport that we are fortunate to be able to walk away from on our terms, not on our doctor's terms. And that guaranteed money to them is one of the most important aspects of it. I thought about this quite a bit yesterday after this news story dropped. And the thought I had was, I understand why an arbiter would find that this wasn't collusion. Because no one, or at least it wasn't proven, we're going to have a lot of conversation about proof today. It wasn't proven that any owners actually took action. But this is kind of one of those spots where it's like, didn't they though? Didn't they though? Because just sending text back and forth to each other, congratulating each other about how they signed the contracts without much guaranteed money. I am sure that these types of conversations take place all the time. I'm sure that these types of conversations take place probably in every sport anytime that an owner signs a team-friendly deal. But they absolutely should not. They absolutely should not. Because it leaves the door open to do the old wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Right? It leaves the door open for owner A to say to owner B and then say it in front of owners D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. I almost forgot how the alphabet works there. That's how big of a struggle we're working with this morning. It leaves the door open to be able to feel each other out about who's where and on what contract terms and for how much money with whomst. It leaves the door open for those conversations to be had with the old wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Here's where I am, so don't go any further than me. I understand that you're all upset that Jimmy Haslam gave Deshaun Watson $250 million of guaranteed money and reset the market is the phrase that got used how many times when that happened. But that's a you problem. That's a you problem. The collusion should not be colluding between 32 teams to figure out who is comfortable spending how much. The conversation should be with yourself. If a guy like a Deshaun Watson becomes available and wants $250 million in fully guaranteed money to come play for you, it should be on you to say, nah, like we want to be good and we want a great quarterback. But we are not going to come off of $250 million guaranteed dollars because what happens if you show up and, I don't know, are credibly accused of multiple instances of sexual assault and can't play? What's going to happen if you show up and you pop your Achilles in the first game? We're still on the hook for a quarter bill, and even though there are CBA-approved ways for us to get some sort of compensation back and sign a new player and yada, yada, yada. Even though all of that is right there, we're still obviously not going to have the opportunity to be as good. So it feels to me like the heat here should not be on the players for getting the bag when the bag is offered. It feels to me like an arbiter should have looked at that and gone, when you guys have these conversations that are congratulating each other in front of each other about contract deals and terms that you like and that you are happy with. Even though it is not you saying, hey, don't spend this much money, do spend that much money, I'm going to spend this much money, you shouldn't spend that much money, even though you're not acting on it, and I'm air quoting that real hard, even though you're not acting on it, you kind of are, right? You kind of are. Now, again, you can't necessarily judge a crime by intent. It has to be by action. But we're not talking about criminal charges here. We're talking about civil injury caused by behavior. And I would make the argument that in this spot, you are creating a tough world to live in. If you don't want quarterbacks getting $250 million of guaranteed money when they hit the free agency market, then don't give them the contract. Like, I don't understand how this is a conversation. If you don't want Deshaun Watson to have $250 million guaranteed contract, don't give him the contract. And make sure that all 32 contract offerers across the NFL recognize that if you sign that contract, if you give a guy $250 million guaranteed, and he pops his Achilles or is credibly accused of double-digit numbers of sexual assault and is banished from the league, etc., that's on you, dog. That I think is another part of the conversation for me, is the fact that all of these owners, and let's be clear, they're all in it together. They're all in it together. I saw a video as a very brief aside, and I'll come right back. I saw a video from Katie Nolan, the podcaster slash former ESPN host slash FS1 host slash, she's been everywhere. Love Katie, for the record. She's a doll. She's the best. And she was doing her podcast the other day, and she said, I have a hot take. She said, for years I've said that I don't think that owners of professional franchises should be allowed to own more than one professional franchise. This came out after the Lakers sold for $10.1 billion to the guy who also owns the Dodgers. And she said, and I've always said that because what I don't want to see is a world where the guy who owns the Lakers starts siphoning money off of the Lakers to invest in the Dodgers, or vice versa, right? Don't make one team, don't take resources from one to give to the other. And she said, I don't think professional sports teams should be run like a for-profit business. She said, I know that that's not how it works, to which I said, well, I'm glad you said that. Because the recognition for fans, it is easier to understand the decisions of leagues and the decisions of teams and conferences and yada, yada, yada. We've said this. It's like a war cry on the show. It is easier to understand the decisions that are made by the powers that be in any given organization when you recognize that this is an investment for them. They don't run this team because they really, really, really want to win a championship, you guys. They run their teams to make money. Now, if they win a championship, that's nice. And the good ones recognize that the best way to up the profits is to win championships. I don't know how much money I spent on the Saints after they won their first, last, then only Super Bowl. But I know it was an irresponsible amount. It was driving 2 days later on a whim to New Orleans to go to the parade. It was knocking back enough brewskis that I raided the Saints black and gold store for Super Bowl merch the next day. I bought Super Bowl merch that I'm sure I never wore once. I just bought it because I was all sorts of dumb excited, right? That's how you do it. But a lot of owners don't recognize that. The owners should, as any restaurant in a city would, or any oil change place in a city would, or any doctor's office in a city should, operate it as if the other 31 teams in the league are your competition. You should be encouraging Jimmy Haslam to drop $250 million to sign Deshaun Watson when we all knew it was a bad contract? Why? So that's one less team you got to worry about. The Browns put that much guaranteed money into one guy, and it doesn't work out. They can't compete in the free agent market for other guys. But they don't do that. Why? Because they know if they're going to sign for $250 million, then the next top-notch prime grade free agent quarterback that comes open, he's also going to want a quarter bill. And you either have to say yes in order to get that guy, or no, I'm not comfortable giving you that much money. Somebody else signs him, and if they go on to win a Super Bowl with that guy, your fans are going to hate you. That's on you. Figure it out. I get why they didn't rule that it was collusion. It is hard for me to agree with that decision, though. Not acting on it when you can all just sit around and elbow each other in the arm and go, Hey, how about that contract? Good job on that, buddy. Like, you see it. That is the acting on it. All right, we'll talk more about that, or we won't. I don't know. I don't even know if you guys are interested in that, but it kind of feels like a big deal to me. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show, live on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. The National Basketball Association draft came to its conclusion last night. The second round finished up with picks 31 through 60 last night. We, for the second night in a row, had a flurry of movement. The Minnesota Timberwolves traded the 31st overall pick before we even got the draft started last night. The Charlotte Hornets had a pair of picks inside of the opening four yesterday. We're going to discuss those and more a little bit as the show progresses today. There are some spots I did want to talk about. And on top of that, I wanted to talk about some of the teams that I thought did their best, some teams that maybe did not perform in the draft the way I had liked. And let's do that now. Why not? We're here. We got time. By the way, I do have a couple of guests today. Rashad Beard going to join us at 8:40. Rashad's been for the last couple of years joining us on Thursdays at 8:40 to talk about the Carolina Panthers, but he's had a little bit of a change in the workplace. Now he's got to be in the office on Thursday. So as of today, those of you that are Friday exclusive listeners, you get a nice little treat as Rashad Beard is moving his weekly Carolina Panthers segment with us to Friday mornings at 8:40. We got that coming up for you starting this morning. We will also be joined later on today by Nate Garner. He is the head coach of the football team at North Greenville University, former Miami Dolphin, former NFL player, now coaching football here in the GVL. Yeah, we had Nate on a couple of months ago, right after he got hired to be the head coach at NGU. I am going to say, if you did not hear that interview, Nate Garner was, not only a fun interview, but he earned one of the two exclusive titles that I hand out on the show. Exclusive title number one is Knower of Ball. That's an earned title. Exclusive title number two is a dude. You show up, you bring it, you're a good interview, you're a great personality. You can be labeled a dude on the show. Nate Garner made it to dude status in his debut interview a couple of months ago on the show. Nate Garner going to return today as North Greenville has a couple of big events coming up. They are going to do, or they are doing, they are working on a couple of phenomenal fan involvement activities they got coming up. They are doing some camps coming up that are open to the public. They'll have the players out there to work with the kids, et cetera, et cetera. They've got a golf tournament coming up to raise money for the football and athletics departments at NGU. So we'll talk to Nate Garner coming up later on this morning at 8:20. Rashad Beard at 8:40. Now let's get back to the NBA draft. Couple of teams that I wanted to shout out. One of them, I'm kind of intrigued by the direction of the Atlanta Hawks right now. Now, they only ended up with one player. They got Asa Newell out of Georgia. It is the way that they ended up with Asa Newell out of Georgia that I am both intrigued in and apprehensive about. The Hawks had an early pick in the teens in this draft. They made a swap with the New Orleans Pelicans, who went from 23 up to 13 in order to get Derek Queen. Derek Queen is the power forward slash small center out of Maryland who hit that buzzer beater for the Turtles in the March tournament this year. It was one of a limited number of really energetic, electric moments. It also was a travel slash carry, so it shouldn't have counted, but like, hey, whatever. It was exciting, and we care more about exciting in our sports than we care about following the rules. A different conversation, different time period. Anyway, the Pelicans were really high on Derek Queen. They traded up 10 spots and sent an unprotected first-round draft pick next year to Atlanta in order to get there. Here's what that means for both the Pelicans and Atlanta. It means the Pelicans better hope they're real good next year. And the Birds better hope that, excuse me, the Hawks better hope that that New Orleans stinks next year. Because no matter where their draft picks end up, it goes to Atlanta. So if the Birds, if my Birds, the New Orleans Pelicans, have another bleep year next year and they're a lottery draft team and they end up with the number one overall pick, guess who now has the number one overall pick? The Atlanta Hawks. Now, if the Pelicans make a run to the play-in tournament, maybe even, holy crap, would you imagine that? Get out of it, get into the regular season or the NFL, the NBA postseason. I told you, I'm booting up still. And they end up with pick number, 22.
You also understand how unrealistic the thing that you're trying to say is, and your brain's trying to stop you from saying it.
What, that the Birds make a playoff run?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I know. I think it is more likely that they probably end up, because I do think the Pelicans got better in this draft. I don't love giving up an unprotected first rounder for it. I do think they got better. I think that they could theoretically be like the last play-in spot. That's around where I think they could end up. But if they're wrong, if Zion goes down, can't play most of the year, and they don't have a real power forward, if Derek Queen doesn't work out, if they misjudge the talent on that cat, whatever, and the Pelicans end up in the lottery, that pick's still going to the Atlanta Hawks. But I love the move for Atlanta. You got Asa Newell out of Georgia, who I like a lot. You made the trade for Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis is going to be kind of that in-the-middle power big man that also pairs well with Asa Newell. Asa Newell is not a guy that has a ton of ability to be really good as a power forward. He's got to have some help to draw defense away from him. That's Kristaps Porzingis' role. I actually really like that tandem. You put all that with Trey, I think you got a good team being built in Atlanta. And on top of all of that, you're going to get a year to tinker around with that combination of players to look at it and go, where's our weak spot? And you've got two first-round draft picks next year to take two guys who fill into that role. I am really excited about, as a basketball fan, I'm excited to see what the Hawks turn into. As somebody who hates sports in Atlanta that's not the Braves, I'm intrigued by it. Give you some other teams I think were interesting. I think Charlotte had a good run at it. They end up with Con Knipple, Liam McNeely, Sion James out of Duke, so two Dukies, and Ryan Kalkbrenner out of Creighton, a 7'2" big man in the middle. They also obviously worked out the trade to send Mark Williams out of town. I think a large part of that is Mark Williams is a guy that has a lot of development left to do. But if I'm going to develop a guy in the middle, why not go get a guy who, at Creighton for the Jays in Ryan Kalkbrenner, why not go get a guy who's got the gift, he's got the presence in the middle, and I'm going to be paying him on a rookie contract. I really like that set of moves. I didn't necessarily go head over heels, over the moon, about the selection of Con Knipple. Lonzo made a great point. It's a Duke kid. You bring in another Duke kid in Sion James. Like, I like pairing a couple of Duke guys there. A lot of chemistry amongst the rookies. I think Ryan Kalkbrenner, the center, is absolutely a guy who's kind of got that same, that Duke mentality, though he played at Creighton. I really liked all of this. Konkanipal was an efficient scorer at Duke. Again, nothing electrifying, but what did you need in that role? I needed somebody that could be the out for LaMelo Ball when he makes the drive. He's a guy that wants to attack the lane and then start looking for the outlet pass if the scoring opportunity isn't there. Konkanipal is a guy, not a great shot creator on the outside, but a guy that understands how to work off the ball in space. Gonna give him that outlet pass. Now I've got a 7-2 in the middle, young on a rookie contract. Sion James is kind of the anti-Konkanipal. He's a guy that can penetrate from the outside off of the wing, gives you that slashing secondary option. I actually really like the draft here from Charlotte. I think they did a phenomenal job. I think there's some other teams that stood out. I thought the Pacers with Cam Jones and Talon Peter had a good draft last night. A couple of guys that really fit into what they want to do. Peter spent the majority of his career at Division II Arkansas Tech playing the swing. Just averaged one assist at Liberty last year. But here's a fun stat. Lonzo, even for a college basketball player, what would you say for like a really good shooter, what would you estimate is like a really good field goal shooting percentage for even the most elite scorers at the collegiate level?
I think it depends on position, right? Or
let's say for a shooter. Let's say even for a true
average for the season?
Yeah. Like a season shooting average from the field for a guy whose job is shoot.
It's hard for me to not be sarcastic.
I know it is.
So I'm going to go with 20 points.
How about a field goal percentage of 76% from the floor?
Okay.
This kid from Liberty shuts 76%.
Obviously didn't understand the question.
Yeah, field goal percentage. This cat at Liberty from two-point land shot 76%. He shot 45% from three. That's Steph Curry numbers. That's Steph Curry numbers from all over the floor. They got him at the 54th pick. Again, not a great creator, but a guy that can get off the pass, can get a shot up quick. 76% from two, 45% from three. And you got him at 54? That's fantastic. Do you think a guy that shoots 76% from inside the 3 foot? That number doesn't seem real to me. 76% from two off the pass. Not off the dribble, off the pass. You think he pairs well with Tyrese Halliburton? When Halliburton comes back, he gets a year to learn the game, learn the speed, whatever. A guy like Tyrese, and by the way, when Tyrese Halliburton comes back, Tyrese Halliburton is not going to be as much of a dribble drive scoring threat. He is going to be a threat as an assist machine. You think pairing him up with a guy who shoots 76% off the pass is a bad idea? I don't think so at all. I don't think so at all. So I'm interested in that one. I'll tell you who I think had a better draft than people are giving him credit for. I think Memphis. Cedric Coward at number 11, Javon Small, number 48, Jemima Shaq at number 59. I think these are good. Now, a lot of people are dinging them up because Memphis sent an unprotected Orlando first-round pick to go get Desmond Bain. They got that from Orlando. They moved up five picks, which is questionable value, a first-rounder to move up five spots. But again, they got Cedric Coward, who is, I thought, Cedric Coward was probably one of the best, probably 10, maybe 12 players in this draft. They got him at 13, which I thought was a value spot for him. I think he's a good pair. They are going to have to find that elite guy after they sent Bane down to Orlando, but how they drafted, where they drafted, I thought was solid. I thought that was a great pick there. Again, I'm still up in the air about how I feel about the Pelicans draft. If they got the players right, then I'm really okay. It basically is going to come down to where's their first round pick next year? Where's the pick they're sending to Atlanta next year? I actually really like Jeremiah Fears. He was on my wish list drafting at 7. I like Jeremiah Fears. I think he is one of the elite players in this draft. I didn't mind getting him there. Derek Queen, honestly, I think Derek Queen might have been available at 23 if he didn't, probably not, but if you didn't draft him. And then Micah Peavy at number 40, a fifth-year senior out of Georgetown, averaged 17, 2.3 steals, and a 40% three-point shot, although he's more going to be known for his defense. Problem with Peavy is he shot 66. How do you shoot 40% from three but 66% from the line? How is that a – that number doesn't make sense either. I don't know how I feel about that yet.
Well, there's a couple feet difference there.
Yeah, you know. It's closer. You shot 40% from three, 66% from the line. That's not it. I don't like that at all. So anyway, there's a couple of the teams that matter and how they. By the way, I like Philly's draft too. VJ Edgecombe, Jahni Broome. I think Jahni Broome had a really bad combine and that soured a lot of people. I think people turned a closed eye to the fact that Jahni Broome was in Cooper Flagg's back pocket for Player of the Year in college basketball last year. I think he is a. I don't know if he's a day one starter. But if the Sixers are going to keep leaning on Joel Embiid, Jahni Broome's a good addition to that spot. So there's some of my early winners and losers from the NBA draft, which concluded last night. Coming back in hour number two, I've got your water cooler cheat sheet, and we're going to talk some college football on the day. Heard a couple of ACC and SEC takes yesterday. I want to address. I also we'll probably address one or two of the things Lonzo's about to talk to you about in a sports flash.
Maybe. The New York Mets took a 4-0 shutout win over Atlanta last night to split a four-game series. Grant Holmes gave up six hits and two runs over five innings. Striking out six, Atlanta had just three hits on the night, none of them for extra bases, and went 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. Atlanta gets Philly at home for three games starting tonight. Charlotte Hornets open up the second day of the draft with a pair of picks at number 32 and 33. They opened by drafting Cyan James out of Duke, a 6'5 forward perimeter player capable of filling multiple roles as a backup. Then the Buzz took Ryan Cockelbrenner, a 7'1 big man from Creighton, known for efficiency in the pick and roll. Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the first two players selected for the July 15th All-Star Game in Atlanta. The two led Major League Baseball with over 3.9 million votes in fan voting each. That's a lot. That's a lot of people voting for them.